So at 9:30 this morning, in 15 minutes, there's a scheduled period for of the retreat. And so before that, I'd like to give us some instructions on walking meditation. And first, I wanted to say that walking meditation was happening in India probably before the Buddha, and there's in the time of the Buddha, there's records of people doing walking meditation. And if you go to, there's some places in the world, monasteries where they may be in the woods or someplace, that you'll see these wonderful trails in the wood that have been well worn from all the people doing walking meditation. And the trails are about 20 or 30 feet long. And people have just walked back and forth there for a long time. And it's a wonderful practice. Some people, it seems to work better than sitting practice. Somehow the kinesthetic movement and more engaging, more compelling, and it's easier to kind of be in the moment with it. Some people, sitting practice works better. Some people find their mind wanders off in thought more in sitting. Some people find it wanders off more in walking. Some people find the mind wanders off all the time. It doesn't matter what you're doing. But there is a difference between the two. And what's really useful to know is that the alternation between sitting and walking supports the other. And so it's a way that they be, just kind of get duller and duller probably. And the walking kind of gives some energy. If you walked all day, you might have too much energy, and it might actually keep the mind kind of moving a lot. And there's all kinds of things that come into play. One of them is that I suspect that the human mind does well with alternate rhythms of doing something for a while and then something else. If you're always kind of is always sticking to the same thing, it actually takes more effort for the mind and it doesn't have a chance to recover and rest. And so by going back and forth when sitting and walking, you get the recovery, the rest, the kind of the break, so you can come back and do the other in a nice way. And that alternation, I think it's massaging you. But the walking meditation, as I like to say, it just doesn't work. So that's nice to know. It just doesn't work if you don't do it. So you have to do it. And I say that in this kind of silly way because there are people who don't give it a try. Don't try it. And when I was introduced to this walking meditation that we do here in Vipassana, I didn't like it. And did it, and it was an acquired taste. I'm sure it's going to have to be an acquired taste, and it's really well worth putting the effort in to acquire that taste. It's a really beneficial thing to learn the art of walking meditation, and it's really good. I think it's really good, this alternation between sitting and walking, and if you can, I think different effect than the alternation between sitting and being, which some people do, they have to do, and that's a fine thing to do if it's really necessary. And the first day of a retreat, it's often a good time to have an extra nap or two. People are often very exhausted the first day, so please, by all means. But kind of give yourself to it. And even if you don't like it, it's one of the great lessons that parents sometimes try to teach their children. You don't have to like it to do it. And so to learn, kind of to just give yourself over to something and not be seduced by your preferences or something. But it is a wonderful way, I think, over in the eventually to kind of drop into the body. It's a very physical thing to do the walking. And it's one of the real doorways for taking Vipassana deep. Insight's going to come from, But there's a long tradition that it comes from the body as opposed to the mind. So the way we do it here at the IRC is maybe different than how you've been taught. And so you're welcome to do it differently. This, I just give you the basic kind of approach and some variations. But the locations is you can do it outdoors. You can do it on the deck. You can do it in the community hall. There's some people who love to do it kind of without shoes on their, you know, carpet downstairs. It's so soft and nice. Some people can find it in their room kind of long enough for some people. In the hallways, you know, around the rooms, it's fine. Up the public hallways, some people do it there. And so hopefully you'll find some place. Some people do it in the dining room, but maybe one or two people can do it there if nobody's having tea. You have to be a little careful not to get in the way of people sitting there having tea or a snack. So hopefully you can find a place that's nice for you. And the idea is that generally it's a walkway that's about 20 or 30 feet long, 20 or 30 paces long. It has a different effect than just wandering around the property doing walking meditation, which has its role. But there's something about the simplicity of just going back and forth that pretty quickly you know the route. And so some part of your mind can rest because it knows, it doesn't have to be figuring out where to step and what to look out for. It's really just there. And then generally it's nice to keep the gaze down about 45 degrees so that you don't end up doing two things at once, looking at something and trying to be with your body as it walks. So it kind of limits the amount of information you take in. If you really feel compelled to look at what, and when you finish looking, then continue with the walking so you're not splitting your attention. And to simply to walk back and forth. And the pace that you walk with is up to you. Some people find that it works best to have a somewhat fast pace. My teacher in Burma, he literally power walked when he'd walk in meditation. I could have jogged next to him to do it. And I've known people like some of the Abhayagiri monastics who've been practitioners for decades. They're just flabbergasted that in our tradition here, we walk so slow. Like how could, you know, they kind of walk at a normal street pace and they do walking meditation. But the important thing is to find a pace that gives you a sense of ease. And that, you know, and what gives you a sense of ease will vary from walking period to walking period, or even during a walking period. And so, you know, so something, some modicum of peace, you know, if you're filled with anger when you're walking meditation, maybe what it brings you a sense of ease is very different than, you know, if you're feeling kind of calm and peaceful. And maybe then faster walking meditation holds the strong emotions better and maybe walking faster. And if you walk like my teacher did, power walking, you probably should do it further away from other people so you don't frighten them. Something just kind of, you know, activate them. But it's certainly a goal. It's often this general sensation, awareness of your body, global awareness of your body as you can, if that's easy enough for you. There's something about relaxing into the global body without focusing on anything particular, being at ease and not contracted or focused or tight, you know, now I have to get serious here and look at something, be with something. But that global relaxed awareness. So find a sense of ease, have that global awareness of the body. And after a little while, begin lowering your attention to some place where there's a real clear sense of alternating rhythm of something. There's when there's a rhythm of sensations, it's actually easier for the mind to stay on something than it is if you try to keep your attention on an unchanging fixed sensation or object. And it's actually stressful for the mind to do that. And the primary rhythm of walking meditation that's kind of the strongest probably is the rhythm of the feet, legs, doing your stepping. So then you would drop your attention down and just kind of get into that, into the sensations connected to that rhythm. And it might be all the way down to your feet, maybe if that feels really good and grounding somehow. And generally, if you're walking somewhat, if you're walking fast, it's mostly you're feeling the contact of the soles against the ground. But if you're walking a little bit slower, it's the foot that's doing the stepping. So as the foot lifts off the ground, as it moves through the air and comes down, you're kind of there in those sensations that come into play. They ripple through, and you just kind of let them ripple through. And then when you shift your weight, then you switch your attention to the back foot and do it again. And if you find your mind wandering off in thought a lot, it might be useful to kind of use a mental label and just say stepping or left, right, which is kind of interesting because you'll find yourself saying right for the left foot. And then you know you've kind of slipped off. Or classic steps notes are lifting, placing, lifting, moving, placing. But you don't, mental noting is optional. But if your mind is really unruly, that sometimes helps it settle and has something to do and gives a thinking mind something to do rather than thinking mind wanders off. And if you find yourself really in a big thought storm or emotional storm, you can stop in your tracks and close your eyes and just take stock. Just recognize what's happening. And just taking stock might be enough then to start again and be able to be a little bit more in the walking rather than your emotional storm. So that's what I'll say for now. About the details of instruction, maybe we'll offer more through the days. But it is helpful to kind of use a continuous period of time during the walking period to do the walking. What doesn't work, interrupt it, though. If you need to go to the bathroom or have tea or do something, do it at the beginning and the end. But don't like walk for 5 minutes and then have tea, walk for 5 minutes, then go to the bathroom. Walk for 5 minutes, then go look at the flowers, walk for 5 minutes. And, you know, then it's kind of like the tea kettle that then never has a chance to boil because you keep turning off the water. And we have a couple of minutes, and I'd like to do a little exercise with you. And see if that might be interesting and about how awareness works and how you can use your attention and in a different way than you are. So it might be so fascinating, I hope. So if you would stand up. It's both a kind of little exercise for getting into walking meditation, but also just an exploration of the kind of qualities, nature of awareness itself. So as you're standing, maybe spread your legs a little bit. And if you can keep the balance easy enough, you can close your eyes or keep your eyes focused down to the floor, kind of 45 degrees. And so very gently, kind of move and put your weight on one side, one foot. And then sway back to the other side and put weight on the other foot. So just a little gentle rocking rhythm, slowly back and forth. It can be as maybe really to feel the sensations coming into play. Maybe especially the sensations as the weight begins to move on to the foot. And then very gently, just use a mental note. And as you switch your weight to the left, say in your mind, left. As you go to the right, say the word right in your mind. And you keep up those labels. You're a little bit less likely to wander off in thought, or you're more likely to notice that you are wandering off in thought. So keep doing this and let yourself be cognizant of that you're switching attention to the left foot and switching to the right. But rather than making the mental note, see if just before you make the mental note, there's a little kind of silent, quieter, little something in your mind that recognizes something that prompts the note, left, right. So just before you say left and right, is there something like, you know, you already know that it's left and right before you say the word. That's quieter than the mental note. And if there is, now stop doing the mental note and just stay with that quieter pre-mental note kind of knowing. And that pre-note, pre-thinking knowing, think of it as an open door in which the sensations of the feet are poured. Let them just come through the space of that kind of knowing. A kind of knowing that's quieter than a thinking mind. Okay, so if this did not make sense, the exercise that I did, don't worry about it. Maybe it will later and something, but for now, maybe if it did, if it was interesting, it might give you some sense. Sometimes it's useful to use the mental notes, and sometimes actually more useful to tune into that, which is quieter, a quieter knowing or awareness in the mind. That kind of goes maybe at a level deeper than thinking, that would highlight better when you start thinking, so that you might maybe a little bit less likely to, you know, elope with your thinking. So thank you. So at 11 o'clock, I'll do the posture instructions. And so those of you, I'll announce it then again. But for those of you who are planning to come, if you haven't already left a note for the manager and cook, please do. And those of you know someplace else, like in the other hall, you're welcome to come in here for that. I think not everyone's going to stay. So there's be lots of space here for people to come. So thank you. And since you're all standing, you don't have to wait for Matthew and I. You can go.
So, dear online Sangha, and maybe this voice comes from that silent awareness as well. And we have a few announcements as well. Now you can stand where you are or just listen to the words. So as Gil was mentioning about the 11 o'clock, there's a posture instruction, and that is also webcasted to all of us, and so feel free to join that. And then today at 2 o'clock, some of you will have a practice discussion. Please check the schedule to see if you're for today, and arrive a couple of minutes before 2 o'clock. That would be wonderful. And then tonight at 6:30, there is a drop-in practice discussion group that's open to everybody. And so full participants and auditors are welcome to join. And that's optional. And so if you do not want to come, that's fine, totally fine. And there is, it's listed at the bottom of the schedule, so you have to scroll all the way down to find the link. There will be a separate room for that, and so you click on the drop-in room, Zoom room. in order to join that. Some of you may see something mysterious showed up at the title of our homepage, and that says assisted by Bruni. So Bruni is one of our IRC teachers. She's here to shadow the retreat in order to learn a bit about online and webcast retreat teaching, and so that she can be prepared to teach the retreat in the future. And so that's the mystery. So, all right, enjoy the rest of the day. I'll see some of you at the practice discussion.